The number one marketing strategy you need in today's business climate is networking. Word of mouth and referral marketing is the most powerful way to grow your business. But for many, just the idea of networking causes anxiety, frustration, and perhaps a little fear. The Once Timid Networker radio show will get you through these networking challenges by providing tips, suggestions, and real-life success stories of other business professionals who got out of their own way and learned to love networking. Now, here's your host, the original Once Timid Networker, Tara Schmeichel.
Welcome, friends. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm thrilled to bring you this show today. We have some really good information, and if you have a pad and paper, I would suggest that you bring it close to you, because the things that you're going to hear today are going to change the way that you communicate. I know they certainly have for me, and when I read this our guest book, I read it with a highlighter and then went back with a pen, and it's really changed the way that I do things, and I'm continually working on it. So I'm really, really excited to share it with you. So let me tell you briefly what this is going to be about. Have you ever gone to an event, or have you ever been speaking to someone and it was just way too much information? And after a while, you kind of zone out. You stop listening because it just kind of hears, you just kind of hear that, you know, blah, 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 blah. Well, what if you could take all the blah, blah out of the conversation, get right to the point, whether you're networking, whether you're selling, whether you're communicating with your family, your friends, what if you could do that? Don't you think that your results would be better? Well, we have a guest today who has helped people change the way that they're communicating so that their results have resulted in lots and lots of dollars, for one thing, and all kinds of wonderful things. I'll let him share these things with you. But please help me welcome today. Help me with clapping while you're by yourself, because I'm really excited. My new friend, Andy Bounds. I met him recently when I was in a trip to Scotland, and he was the keynote speaker. I was blown away because I had already read the book, but I was blown away by the things that I had learned in his presentation, and I took a lot of notes, like I'm requesting that you do today, because I know you'll be glad you did. But the things that I learned really, really made a difference. So I'm going to let Andy share a little bit more about himself. But Andy, welcome to the show today. I'm thrilled to have you here. And if I can get you off your mic live here, then there you are. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm really excited to have you here.
Yeah, you're welcome, Tara. It's nice to be here.
So, Andy, tell us a little bit about what your business is, first off.
Okay, sure. So my business, we help organizations and people communicate more effectively. That can be helping people sell more. It can be helping companies change the way they speak to the marketplace. It can sometimes be just helping busy executives speak with more power so the people they're speaking with do what they want. But that's very much our job, is to help people communicate in ways that achieve what they want to.
I've said it a million times here this morning already, but I really love the information that you have gathered together in the way that you go about this. How did this become important to you, Andy? What happened that made you go, I want to help people communicate better?
I think a couple of things, really. The one that had the biggest impact on me was when I was growing up. My family, many of us have got bad eyesight. My mother's actually blind. I'm blind in one eye. My children have got the hereditary thing that me and my mum have, even though their eyes have both been protected through surgery. But I've had a lifetime of speaking to someone who can't see. So as a 2 or 3 year old boy, when I was learning how to speak, and the person who taught me was somebody who couldn't see, so I got very good at explaining things to people who couldn't see things from my point of view. And then what I found was I had this real passion for, I wanted to make sure that mum understood the same things that everybody else could. So if she was watching a film, so, you know, the big Harry Potter franchise, she got really quite into that. And I was watching that with her, and I was describing certain things to her so she could enjoy the movie the same as anybody else could enjoy it. I don't need to explain what people are saying. She can hear that, but I do need to explain certain things to her. And so that gave me a real passion for helping people communicate in ways that blind people could understand. Now, why is that relevant? Because I guess many people listening here don't have blind customers and so on. But when you think about it, everyone you speak to is blind to your agenda. They're blind to your priorities. They're blind to your focuses. They just don't see things from your point of view. So, you know, if you're networking and someone says, so what do you do? And all you can think of is to say, well, I'm a CPA. You know, when someone who's blind to your agenda, they don't know how to follow that. They don't know what to say. So if we know how to communicate in ways that blind people love, then what it does is it makes us instantly more captivating for everyone who hears us. And that's, I guess, where my passion and my skills come from for the job.
Well, I'm already, like, I was excited before, but hearing you tell the story in person makes me even more excited to hear, you know, well, for our visit today. Because, like I said, when I've watched some of your videos, I get your tip every Tuesday. And for those of you listening, Andy has this fantastic tip every Tuesday that will help you with these things that we're talking about today. And you can find that. How does a person get that tip, Andy?
Sure. So all they do, Tara, is they just they type in my website, which is www.andybounds.com, and then /tips, T-I-P-S. So that's andybounds.com/tips. And they're able to get it. I should just say about these tips to people listening that what I wanted to do is I wanted to be able to help lots of people who couldn't necessarily, who wouldn't necessarily want to spend their time with a consultant or maybe didn't have the budget to do that. And I wanted to be able to get something out there. So these tips, I send them every week. They're free. I never do any selling on them. They're just like 3 or 4 paragraphs of, if you do this, you'll communicate more effectively. And it's funny, actually, Tara, because when I started doing them, I thought, I wonder if these will be useful. It seemed a good idea to me, but I didn't know. And now I find that most people say that they look forward to them, though maybe that's just the polite people who tell me they look forward to them. Maybe the ones who don't mention it.
I think it's
a great
polite
way for me to be able to help people, you know?
Well, I will tell you, I have a folder that's called Andy Bounds on my Outlook that all of those tips go into, because I go back and reference them, and I use them to help my own clients when I'm, you know, thinking of how I can help them, or you know, when I'm helping different people with their businesses, I'll refer back to those, or I'll forward that on to them. So I save them, and I'm not just being polite.
Okay. Well, I'm English, you see, so I'm surrounded by very polite people all day long. So,
well, I'm American, and I don't know what to say about that. So, okay. So when you're talking about communication, you know, I've read a lot of books on communication, and, you know, I've watched a lot of webinars, and I've seen all of these, you know, done research on communication. And Andy, sometimes it seems like it's as if they kind of coach you to do more talking and giving more detail and, you know, finding just the right word that's big and fancy so that you sound like a better, you know, salesperson or a better coach or a better representative or, you know, whatever. Now, is that what we're talking about, sounding more fancy?
No, it's the opposite of my approach. My golden rule with any sort of communication, and we'll talk about networking in a bit because I know that people listening to this will find that most interesting, but there's a general rule which is relevant to all communication, which is this. When you communicate, your job is not to say stuff, it's to cause stuff. So your job isn't to say stuff, it's to cause stuff. So when you go networking, your job is not to say stuff, your job is to cause yourself to meet interesting people and to cause them to find you interesting and to start building connections with people. So the only way you can tell if a networking event has worked, it's not necessarily by the conversations, it's if afterwards you have started or you've continued to develop a relationship with somebody. Similarly, I mentioned before, if you're a CPA, your job isn't to be a CPA, your job is to cause things. So I don't want to go to a CPA because I want a CPA. I want to go to a CPA because I want them to cause me to pay less tax, or I want them to cause my business to grow. So once you see that your job is to be what I call an afters causer, and what I mean by afters is why people are better off after you have done your work. So once you see your job is to be an afters causer, it makes you much better at selling. It makes you much better as a business person. It makes you much better as a networker. Did you notice how when you asked what I did, I didn't say I was a consultant, because you would probably think, you know, oh, between jobs are you then, or whatever people think about consultants. What I said was I helped companies communicate better, because that's what I caused to happen.
Yes. And I love, can I just say, from the timid perspective, and those of you who are listening, if you have ever had that timid moment and you've prepared really well for something to say to whoever you're going to be talking to, whether you're at a networking event or you're in a one-to-one meeting, have you ever tried to plan something really, you know, clever to say so that you sound really good? And then by the time you get in front of that person, whether it's the group or one-to-one, then all of those, that information just kind of falls out of your head, and you, all the fancy words that you had practiced so well and looked up in the thesaurus has suddenly disappeared from your head. Andy, I love that you say things like stuff. It's not to say stuff, it's to cause stuff. You know, afters, you know, all of those things. It's just easy. I love that you help people communicate better instead of, you know, some. There's so many fancy ways that you could say things, but it's just to the point. And
yeah, and that's,
great.
I mean, that's part of the style I've looked at developing. And it's like when, with networking, I love the title of your show because I was once timid at networking too, and I used to hate it, and I used to find a lot of reasons not to go. You know, just as if one of my jobs today is to go outside and lick the sidewalk, I'll find reasons not to do that because I don't want to. And it's the same thing. It's like, oh, I ran out of time. I couldn't go networking.
Yeah.
And this idea of making things easy, I thought I have to make things easy for myself. And in doing so, I actually found I was able to make it easy for other people too. And so with networking, and if there's anyone listening who finds it hard to do this, I want you to remember that there are only four steps to networking. You need, number one, get into a conversation. And all you need to do to say that is, do you mind if I join you? Mm-hmm. If they say yes, then that's a problem. If they say no, join us. Then it's very clear. Okay, so step one is easy. Do you mind if I join you? Step two, you have to talk about them. So you talk about the other person. And we all know that's what polite people should do. I can't think of anything worse than boring somebody senseless at a networking event. So it's much better that they talk than I do. So step one, get into the conversation. Step two, talk about them. And you ask questions, so what business are you in, and what are your goals for the year, and what are you looking to achieve? You always want to find out this afters idea. You want to find out other people's afters as well. You want to find out what they're looking to achieve, because if you're talking to somebody and you say, what are you looking to achieve, and they say, well, I'm really looking to grow my business, then straight away you begin to see if you're able to help this person or not, or either because you can help them, or you may know somebody who's very good at helping people grow their business. So step one, you get into the conversation. Step two, you talk about them. Step three, you talk about yourself. And we can talk about this a bit later if you'd like to in the show, about how you make sure that's really interesting. And then step four, you get out of the conversation. So it's as simple as that. Get in, talk about them, talk about you, and get out. And the way you get out, that I was taught a brilliant thing by Dr. Ivan Meisner, obviously the founder of BNI and probably the world's greatest contributor to networking, certainly in my opinion, that's ever lived, really.
Yeah.
And I was talking to him, the first time I spoke to him, I thought, I just wonder how Ivan will get out of this conversation with me, because he clearly will, and it'll be done beautifully, and I will want to learn from this man. But I'm also going to try and keep him in a conversation for 2 or 3 minutes. You know, I think I can do this. I'm talking to Ivan Meisner, I'll be all right. And after
I've
about
done
20
that.
Or 30,
I know where you're at.
You know what I mean, yeah? And
yes.
After about 20 or 30 seconds, Ivan, charming guy, said, oh, do you know, Andy, I've really enjoyed this conversation. And I said, oh, thanks, Ivan, I have too. And he was off. And I thought, how did he manage to get out of the conversation? And what it was is because he'd used the past tense. He said, I've really enjoyed this conversation. So I went, oh, sure, so I have too. And we both left and we both felt good. And I thought, what a great, elegant way to end a networking conversation.
I agree. And I have been in that conversation with Ivan before as well. And for those of you listening, you can go back to our archives and you can listen to a show that we had with Ivan. And it was fantastic. Some very good tips. You'll love it. But yeah, he is quite elegant in the way that he is networking and the way that he communicates, and especially the way he departs. So yeah, I agree. Okay, so I do have a question as you were talking about those four steps, which I love how quick and easy they were. For those of you listening, if you were taking notes, this is exactly what I'm talking about. When you were talking about ask, you know, what are they looking to achieve, and when you're asking them, have you ever had this, and this is something you and I haven't talked about before, but have you ever had where you're not sure if you want to be the answer to that person's problem?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Okay. I mean, I think when you're networking, your job is to not say stuff, your job is to cause stuff, and that could be causing things for you, or it could be causing things for the person you're speaking to. It doesn't mean that you personally have to cause something for them personally. So I remember speaking to a guy once who was a very successful financial planner, and I know some wonderful financial planners, so it's nothing at all about the profession or the industry, but this particular guy was very much what we'd call in the UK a shark. You know, he would go for the kill. Anyone he spoke to, I remember hearing him say once to somebody, you know, really, if you've got children, if you really love them, you should be thinking about protection. You know, it's just, I just hated his way of dealing with things. It's not my values at all. So I was talking to him, and he said, you know, what he was talking about his business, and then I talked a bit about mine. And he said, oh, so you help companies and people communicate better. Would that extend to sales? And I thought, I can see where this is going. And I said, well, sometimes yes, but I'm very selective who I work with, and I don't tend to work with certain professions or certain types of people and so on. So yes, I do help people sell. But as the conversation was going, I thought, in a minute, he could easily say to me, would you help me in my business grow? Now, as it happened, I was able to steer that away. But if he'd asked me, I would have just said no, because I would have had to explain why. So this is a very long answer to your question. No,
okay.
You're not committing to doing anything at all. What you're doing is, in step one, you're getting into the conversation. That's it. In step two, you're finding out about them and helping them feel special. And that's it. In step three, you're talking about yourself and making yourself sound special and useful and so on. And step four, you're getting out of the conversation. You're not committing anything at all.
Okay. All right. And I know that was kind of a side point of things that we had talked about already, but I just, you know, that is one of the things that I hear repeatedly, you know, what if I don't want, you know, what if I don't trust that person? What if I don't want to open my database to them? Or, you know, what if I don't want to work with them? So I appreciate you taking a couple of minutes to talk about that, because for those of you listening, sometimes we are guarded with our network for good reason. And it doesn't mean that you have to give away the store, but you can still make that person feel special without, you know, giving away the, you know, everything you've got. So thank you.
And a great way to do this, actually, Tara, is I always want, someone asked me recently at BNI what was my motto in life.
Mm-hmm.
And my motto in life is absolutely always positively bring value to the person I'm speaking to. You know,
yeah.
That's it. If I absolutely always positively bring value to the person I'm speaking to, my life's going to be okay, and so's theirs. You know, that's my rule. And when you're talking to somebody, sometimes they might say, would you mind introducing me to your contacts?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't want to introduce a lot of people to my contacts. My contacts are extremely precious to me. They are worth
yep.
more to me than anybody else could. So why I'd want to introduce my contacts to someone, I have no idea, unless it's going to benefit them. But my job is to absolutely always to bring value to the people I'm speaking to. So what I'll say in those situations is, well, I would really like to help you, but I'm afraid I won't be able to help you in that way, because obviously we've only really got to know each other very briefly here, and my contacts I've known for many years. However, from what we've talked about so far, I think there are a couple of other things I can do to help you grow your business. And so what I'm then doing is I'm sort of – it's like the media training idea. It's you hear what the interviewer said, but then you just deflect it onto a slightly different thing. So you say, I'm very happy with you asking. I don't feel comfortable doing that at the minute. However, I can help you by also doing this.
I love that, because it's not like you you've stated it so elegantly, just like we were talking about before. You know, when inside sometimes you might feel like saying, are you kidding me? Are you serious? So I appreciate you helping us find the words to be able to do that as well, because our contacts are precious to us, and we want to be respectful of those relationships, and so that's fantastic. I love the way that you said that. So how could we network better? I mean, we've got these steps here. Is there something else that we can do to network better?
I think there's a number of things that people can do. I mean, it depends. It depends on the person and their situation and so on. One of the golden rules with networking, I think, is we've come across a couple of things in this call already. Your job isn't to say stuff. Your job is to cause stuff. When you network, there are four steps to a conversation. But I think probably, you know, more important than either of those, if I could give one piece of advice to people about networking, is network mainly with the people who you currently know and love, who you currently bring value to, and they bring value to you. I've seen lots of people make what I think is the mistake of thinking networking is a thing you do with strangers. So what they do is they say, I've got 2 hours free on Friday afternoon. I'm going to spend it at a Chamber of Commerce event. Whereas what I would suggest you do, if you had 2 hours free in the afternoon, spend the first half hour ringing up your favorite 5 clients and saying, have you had a good week? Yeah, thanks, great, have a good weekend, then bye. And then spending an hour and a half at Chamber of Commerce, or maybe an hour and a half to the phone to your clients, and only half an hour at the Chamber of Commerce. It's nothing against Chamber of Commerce.
No.
What I'm saying is here that the people who are going to bring most value are the people who you've already got some sort of relationship with. So spend a disproportionately large amount of time with them, I would suggest.
So can you tell me why? I like to know why. Why is it more valuable to spend time with the people that you already know? I mean, I think I know what you're going to say.
Okay.
Instead of going
Sorry, I should have been clearer with that, Tara. So
that's okay.
When you network, there are there's what I call good grief. All right. You want to do things that are good, which are going to help you a lot, which aren't very much grief. You know, and grief are things that you hate, or they're expensive, or they take a long time. When you look at all the different ways you can grow your business, one of them is to talk to strangers. Now, it can be good, but it's quite a lot of grief.
Yep.
Another thing you can do is you can talk to existing people who you know and you love and so on, and that can be much more good or much better and much less grief. So in other words, it's often more likely to lead to business for you, not always, but often more likely to lead to more business, and it's certainly easier to do. However, if you just did that, it would mean you never expanded your contact sphere, and of course that's no good. So you need to do a mixture of both. But what I'm saying is that sometimes I see people go too far down the stranger route, mm-hmm. and they forget to nurture the relationships of the people who really matter.
Andy, do you think that that's because, in part, one of the things that we talk about is that people do business with those that they know, like, and trust? And so when we are nurturing the relationships that we already have, it's because we already know them, we already like them, and because of that continued relationship, we have that trust. Do you think that's where they come from?
Yeah, absolutely. But the trouble is, of course, is we all get busy, and it's very easy to forget these people in our daily running around. You know, and again, I'm just like fire out various things that my company and my clients do. If this is helpful to you, I strongly suggest a great exercise: 2-column table, left-hand column, write the names of your 20 most important contacts. That's in the left-hand column. In the right-hand column, write down how often really you ought to be speaking to them: every week, every month, every quarter, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And once you've identified this, of the 20, you might have 5 weeklies, 10 monthlies, and the rest quarterlies. And then all you do is you just put a recurring calendar entry in, which every week says, don't forget to ring these 5. And that comes up every single week. And then every month you have a calendar entry that says, don't forget to read these 10. And by doing that, it means you're not relying on it popping into your head. What you're doing is your calendar just says, don't forget to do this. And it just reminds you to do it, because we all know what it's like when we're busy. The things we should do go out of our head, and that's a criminal thing to do with networking, I think, to forget the people that matter.
Okay, so before we get into some other stuff here, how do we know how often we want to speak to them? Is there a clue to that?
Well, we don't always. That's the thing. I mean, some if you have a relationship with somebody such that you can ask them, that's great. You can say, I know we're both busy, but I do value talking with you regularly. I mean, it's worth us hooking up every month, every couple of months? What do you think? So you can ask them if you want. If you don't feel comfortable asking, maybe what I do at any rate is I leave it a month or thereabouts to start with, and then I ask when I ring after a month, it's been useful to talk. Is it okay if I give you a ring another month? Would you rather ring sooner or later than that? What do you want? And so what I'm doing there is I'm asking them to choose.
Yeah.
Nobody ever minds that question, Tara. How could you mind someone saying, do you want me to ring in a month or 2 months? So it's just totally inoffensive.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you. I do have a few people that we have, you know, regular calls like that, and I look forward to them. And you know, sometimes it's just a conversation. Other times there's some business that happens, but there's always some really good ideas that are exchanged without fail.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I appreciate that. Okay, so I want to ask you about afters. And, you know, one of the things that we promised our listeners is that we would help them be able to communicate. And I think one of the things that I've been sharing with a lot of my contacts and with my clients is to focus on the afters. So can you kind of tell us, you know, you told us a little bit about the afters, you know, why are they better after working with you? But how do we get down to that? Because that takes a little bit of work, doesn't it?
It does, and if you look at most companies' websites, they don't talk about them very much.
No.
You know, so if you look at a CPA's website, a marketing agency,
okay.
They will often have a heading which says, our services, our products, about us, our history. And so they're talking about what they do, they're not talking about what they cause. Yeah? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So most people don't focus on the afters very much, but actually it's what people want. I mean, if I go into a shop, I might think I want to buy a pair of glasses. Actually, I don't. What I want is the afters. I want to see better. Mm-hmm. If I go into a dentist, you know, I think I want the dentist to look at my teeth. Actually, I don't. I want to make sure that my teeth are healthy. Similarly about teeth, I might think I want toothpaste. I don't. I want my breath to smell nice.
Mm-hmm.
So we always want not the thing. We want the afters of the thing. So a great exercise to do is, you know, get a piece of paper, divide it into three columns. Left-hand column, what I am. So you write down everything that I am. So all the really good adjectives you'd like to say. So experienced, qualified, we might have dedicated, loyal, and so on. In the middle column, you write down what I do. So if it's the marketing agency, you might say, I do press releases, I do brochures, I do websites and so on. In the right-hand side, you write down what I cause, in other words, the afters. Mm-hmm. So for a marketing company, what they're doing on the left-hand two columns is saying what I am and what I do. That's very much the inputs to the business. And on the right-hand side, what I cause. So they might say, after working with us, your sales will be higher. You will know more about the people you're trying to sell to. You will have brochures that look better than everybody else in your field. You will make quicker sales than you currently do. You'll be able to get in front of the decision makers more swiftly. You'll be able to leave the competition behind. You'll be able to save money when you're trying to invest. You'll be able to... And when you have a look at this right-hand column, how good does this marketing agency sound?
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
It sounds
yeah.
just fab. Because the right-hand column is just so engaging, but what would their website probably talk about? Well, it'd probably talk about the left-hand two columns.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a great exercise. That's how you do the afters, Paris.
And I love one of the things that I love that you've talked about in person when I heard you speak, but then also in the book, in The Jelly Effect, you talk so often, and I've heard it so many times, especially since I've heard you talk about it, when people talk about where their business is located and how many years they've been in business.
yeah, and that's like the opposite. I mean, when you think about it, when you're selling to customers, they only want two things. They want, for themselves, they want a better future. So if you could only talk about two things when you sell to people, you talk about them and you talk about their future. However, what most people usually do is they do the total opposite. They don't talk about them. They don't talk about the customer. They talk about themselves. And they don't talk about the customer's future. They talk about their past. So the very first thing to sell to me is to say, I can help you pay less tax, Andy. And the opposite of that is saying, I was founded in 1922. I just don't care.
No. It's kind of like why
I'm trying to, but I don't.
Yeah. I love that. You try to. It's it's definitely one of those things that ever since I heard you say it, I've heard it again and again, and I just feel like, you know, kind of saying, go read Andy's book. So
good. You keep saying that, Sarah. That's fine.
I think I've got a whole bunch sold for you, Andy. let's see. What are some things that we could do that would be more effective? Generally speaking, when it comes to our communication, are there things that are, you know, that we can do better Besides, and I know we've covered a whole bunch of things here, but is there, if there's one other thing that we could do that would make a difference?
Yeah, probably the let me think. Yeah, it's a great question. I work with one of the world's largest banks recently about how they could improve their communication. And what we did is we tracked the impact that my work had had. If you like, we tracked the value of the afters. And one way we did that is we had a look at how much time these executives saved. And they found that almost without exception, this massive group of executives saved between 4 and 8 hours a week each, every week. So between 4 and 8 hours a week, that's between half and a day a week for every week forever. Now, when we looked at this, we said, like, how did this come about? What has been the big saving? And almost again, without exception, they said two letters, D-O, the word do. And what I said to them was, when you communicate, again, your job is not to say stuff, your job is to cause stuff. So the first thing you think about before you open your mouth is, what do I want the other person to do as a result of this? What do I want the other person to do as a result? So when you're sending an email, the first thing you think of is, what do I want the recipient to do when they've read this? Now, do I want them to hit reply and tell me something? Do I want them to file it somewhere? Do I want them to think about something? And once you know that, you write the do first. So the first thing you write while you're writing your email, so you write the bottom paragraph first. So you say, next steps, please can you hit reply and tell me your answer to question three, or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. And once you've written that do, then straight away that whole email becomes much shorter. Now, let's now translate that to a meeting. If you go to a meeting, rather than think, what are we going to talk about, we think, what do we want to do after this meeting? And once we know that what we want people to do, I mean, which conference call would you rather attend? I mean, you know how boring conference calls are, right? So you could attend one of two conference calls. Number one is, hi, everyone. Welcome to today's conference call. My name's Andy. The agenda today is items 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and it'll last an hour. Or, hi, everyone. Welcome to today's call. My name is Andy. The purpose of the call is after it, we're able to do X, Y, and Z, and we'll get off the phone as soon as we can.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it's just so much quicker. It's so much more respectful and empathetic towards other people's time. And we found that conference calls that used to take an hour only took 10 minutes. We found that meetings that took half an hour only took like 4 or 5 minutes, and sometimes they didn't happen. We found that people, instead of, once you know what you want somebody to do, often you think, well, I don't even need to send an email. I'll just pick the phone up and ask them to do it. And so focusing on what you want people to do first and then work back from that is a much better way to communicate than thinking, what do I want to say? So B&I 60 seconds. What do I want somebody to do? I want somebody to talk to, let's think of a company that, Apple. And who do I want to speak to there? The new CEO of Apple. And what do I want the CEO of Apple to think? Yes. So what happens is you think, what do I want everyone to do? I want them to try and ring the CEO of Apple or whoever it is. Yeah. Now, once you know what that do is, you write your 60 seconds so it's geared to achieving that do. That's the total opposite of thinking, I need to tell everyone about everything about my business.
Yeah. And then ask at the end, if I remember.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You should ask at the start. I mean, how I always start 60 seconds is I say, okay, morning, everyone. My name is Andy Bounds. And the person I'm looking to speak to this week is CEO of Apple, whatever. Let me explain why I think I can help this guy. And then I run through, and then I say, so let me be very clear. The person I want to speak to this week is CEO of Apple because I can help him sell more than he thought he could. My name's Andy Bounds. And so all the way through, my 60 seconds only take 30 or 40 seconds. It goes against all the B&I rules. I'm throwing away 20 seconds. I'm wasting $4 a week or whatever it is. When I sit down, absolutely everybody knows I want to speak to the CEO of Apple.
Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, I mean, when we're networking, no matter where we're networking, starting with that do is, I think that, well, here, let me just, I'm getting excited and so I'm making my words all a jumble. One of the things that is key for this program, and two of my favorite words are efficient and effective. And I think, Andy, that's what I really appreciate about your message is that it's efficient, it's short, you know, and it's effective. Most importantly, it's effective, because to have efficiency without the effectiveness, you know, that's kind of what's the point. But the way that you've made this so simple and so short and to the point, For someone, and I'm learning as I've been talking with different people, people don't want a whole bunch of stuff. They don't want to hear a whole bunch of things about nothing, you know, even if they're important to us. You know, if we're talking and we're saying too much stuff, it's not going to be effective. And like we talked about before, people tune us out. So.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, as we say, I mean, communication is very much an audience thing. I mean, I've really enjoyed, I've really enjoyed our conversations, and hopefully you've enjoyed it too. But actually, what we think doesn't matter. It's the people who are listening that matters. If they've enjoyed it, we've done our job properly. And communication is always about the audience. So when you do your BNI 60 seconds, it's not about you. It's about your chapter enjoying it, thinking it's clear, thinking that you respect them because you've prepared it, and, you know, and all that sort of stuff. It's always to do with the audience communication.
Yeah, and that goes, you know, for those of you who are listening who are not familiar with BNI or you're not in BNI, you know, BNI, Business Network International, is a structured networking organization. This same type of thing works if you're going to a chamber or you're going to a trade organization meeting. This information works all over. And so it really is valuable no matter what organization we're part of, no matter what we're doing, it makes a difference. Andy, this is a networking show, so I do want to ask you what a good referral for you is.
Well, it's very nice. Thank you. The best referral for me would be I am 2 weeks away from sending my new book to the publishers, the follow-up to The Jolly Effect. And one of the things that really helps books sell well is a testimonial at the front from a recognized authority who, when people look at it, they go, wow, that's cool. If that person likes it, it must be a great book. And I was very blessed with my previous book that Dr. Ivan Miser, the founder of BNI we mentioned before, he really liked the book and said it was something like the most insightful book on communication he'd ever read.
Yeah.
And that just went on the front cover. And that was just so helpful to me and so on. So a great referral for me would be if you or any of your listeners know someone who will be a great name, who would consider looking at my book, and if they like it, and only if they like it, I'm not asking them to commit to anything, only if they like it, to put a few words on the front so I can have you know, some great quality testimonials from great quality people. That would be a wonderful referral for me.
And so if we do have that person in mind, or maybe we are that person, how might we contact you?
The way to do it, again, the easiest way is just from my email, which is andy@andybounds.com. So andy@andybounds.com. And the easiest way to do it is if you just send me an email and say, here's my telephone number, give me a ring, and I'll give you a ring and we can have a talk about it. You know from what I've talked about during this conversation that I find it much easier to give than to receive with things like this. So, you know, if you are able to help me, please be assured I'll be saying, how can I help you guys in return?
Yeah. No, and that's just in the short time that I've known you, I know that you're a person like that. So if you are listening and you think that you can help Andy, you won't be sorry. I can't wait to read. When I found out you were writing another book, I thought, oh my gosh, how can I get on the list? So I will definitely be purchasing that one for sure. Andy, thank you so much for taking the time today. I know it's evening where you are, and it's not here, but I do appreciate you taking the time out of your day to share with us all these wonderful nuggets. Thank you.
You're welcome, and I've enjoyed it, and thanks to you and to everybody for listening.
Cool. All right, so those of you who are listening, what a whole bunch of really cool stuff. from everything, including, you know, that we don't want to say stuff, we want to cause stuff. Remember that when you are at your next networking event. Remember those four steps when you are having that conversation. Get into the conversation, talk about them, talk about you, and then get out. You know, practice how to do that so that you can become elegant in the way that you say that. For those of you who are timid, that's going to be maybe a little bit more practice, maybe taking some notes so that you can refer back to them when you go when you go to these events, so that you can, you know, keep yourself in check. But remember, that networking with people that you don't know is going to be a good use of time, but networking with the people that you already know and that you love, Andy had a very good point about that. So remember to do that. And please share this show with others that you know who might be looking to network more effectively. We had all kinds of information. I know this is a program that I will listen to repeatedly just to, you know, refresh myself and to make sure that I'm doing things in the way that I want to be in networking, you know, effectively and saying things better. To stay current on what's happening with the Once Timid Networker, you can find us on Facebook as well as on our website, theoncetimidnetworker.com. We hope that today's show has helped you to look at networking and communication a little differently, and hopefully we've given you some tools and some nuggets that will help you be more efficient and more effective. Thank you for listening, and I wish you a lovely rest of your day.
This has been a presentation of Next Stage Online Radio, the internet radio station for Next Stage Media Group. For more information on our business and lifestyle programs, go to nextstagemediagroup.com.